Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Dueling Club, where you'll learn one spell at a time. This is Jen.
And I'm Al.
Yay! Alright, so we picked the perfect time to start recording, seriously, because nobody else is in the house. Except for us.
Yes.
I think this may be when we do it all the time now.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, I guess we'll start with social media. Like, follow, subscribe. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Dueling Club Podcast Group. We're on Instagram and Twitter now. Woohoo! And I've actually been posting more often, so yay! Our media team is on it. I am the media team. And he's just shaking his head, yes.
Nodding.
Yes, nodding. I always say those wrong. I blame it on being a first-generation American. Moving on. Uh-huh. So, you can listen to us on any platform that you listen to podcasts. We are hosted on Podbean. Yay, Podbean! But you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, or any other podcasting site that you might use.
Realistically, you're on Spotify.
Realistically, most of our users do come from Spotify. However, we have a bunch of users who also listen on Podbean and randomly through, like, web browsers. So it doesn't say, like, it's like Safari. I'm like, okay, cool. It's weird. But however you listen to us, we're glad you do.
True.
Yay, you. All right. So I guess I'll start with news. Today is going to be my last day at work, being the only person with our last name who has ever worked there.
Wow. I guess that goes with my news. On Monday, I start my new job.
Yes.
And it's Friday, by the way.
Yes, it's Friday for us. You won't hear this until Monday, so Al starts his new job when you hear this. Yay!
Huzzah!
What else was I going to say? That's all I got. Oh, I bought a new car last week. It's doing well. New to me car.
It's nice.
I appreciate it. I just realized that our older sister also has a Santa Fe. But I didn't buy it because she has one, because had a Hyundai for 13 years.
But you know what?
What?
Hers is, like, newer than yours, mm-hmm. So her car is, like, the little sister. Your car is the big sister now.
This is true.
You have seniority. Well, my car said this. Listen to it.
Yes. Well, I've also had Hyundais for 13 years at this point. So if anyone's copying anyone.
We're not doing brand seniority, and no one's copying anyone anyway.
I know.
We're too old to copy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care about that. But I just wanted to throw it out there because I have a feeling that that is what some people might think.
But who cares what those people think?
True. True. Moving on. What else is going on in my life? Nothing. I just realized that Marley, one of my cats, is 12 years old. She's an old lady cat. Yeah. But she acts like a kitten.
True.
So I forget sometimes that she's as old as she is. And I had a come to me moment. As I say, come to Jesus, but not everybody believes in Jesus. Where I was like, hey, Marley, you gotta live for at least another, like, 10 years. At least. And she's like, let it be so. And that's it.
I like it.
Yeah. So, moving on, we're actually getting pretty far into the book now.
Well, now that we actually record, you know, that happens.
Very true. We're trying to be more consistent, guys, and we have been lately. So go us! Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And then something will happen.
Inevitably.
Yes. But we're still continuing our review of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
And we are on Chapter 8. This is Season 3, Episode 9. Chapter 8, Flight of the Fat Lady. So to recap what happened last time, Professor Trelawney basically said she saw a death omen for Harry. So yes. Harry's gonna die.
Apparently.
McGonagall calls
monkey
business on that. She says that Trelawney likes to predict the death of at least one student every year. It's her thing.
I mean, to be fair, if there's an applicable candidate for this position, it's
probably Harry Potter. Yes, agreed. but come on.
The kid who somehow summons Voldemort every year to fight him and, like,
wins
smack, by smack like his hands.
Exactly.
You know?
And they have their first defense against the Dark Arts class with Professor Remus Lupin. And
which quickly becomes everyone's favorite, which is the beginning of this chapter.
It is the beginning of this chapter. That's where we go. Look at you segueing appropriately. Well,
the thing is if you look at their teachers, also, by the way.
It's also in here.
Okay. Because I've been in my own head and reading again, mm-hmm. We did do the whole, this is the chapter, the title, and...
Yes.
Okay.
I made sure of that.
Very good. So, if you look back at the teachers, like, Snape is a douche. McGonagall is, like, probably a little too strict for their liking.
But they still love her class.
No, of course. She's still a good teacher.
You get to turn one thing into something else.
I mean, she's been there for a number of years for a reason, besides her being one of Dumbledore's best friends. Yes. Is that she's a good teacher.
Yes.
And even though she's strict, she's...
She's Mama McGonagall.
Yeah. Binns, which is History of Magic, is boring.
He's been there literally forever.
Flitwick is probably in the same category as McGonagall, but just, like, a lesser one. He's probably, like, a bit strict, but not really. You see that he lets them do their own thing as long as they accomplish their classwork and, like, other books and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is one where they actually get to do magic. Like, do magic.
Yeah, it's been more, like, practical than theoretical.
Yeah, but even in other classes, it's like, make this feather float. Like, there's a level of, like, coolness to it. It's nothing like fighting a Boggart. Or learning how to cross a swamp when there's Grindelow and stuff like that.
Well, we haven't met the Grindelow yet.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yes.
That's a magical creature, by the way.
Yes. So we actually... Everybody really loves Defense Against the Dark Arts, except for Malfoy and his cronies, who like to be like, oh, look at Lupin's robes. They're almost as bad as Dobby, our former house elf. And I'm like, big ups to Dobby.
Yeah.
For showing up just... Honorable mention. We also learn about other types of magical creatures because, of course, this is more of a practical class than theoretical. And we learn about red caps. They're nasty little goblin-like creatures who lurk where there was bloodshed, awaiting to bludgeon whoever they can get to.
Yeah, nearby passerbys.
Yes.
Like, it, you know.
Like, they like to be in dungeons, and they like to be in potholes of, like, war fields. Okay, cool. And Kappas. They say Kappas.
I never Kappas.
Okay. They're creepy water dwellers who look like scaly monkeys with webbed hands. Who like to, you know, just grab you and drown you.
Yes. Standard. Standard weird little creepy thing.
Technique. Creepy scaly monkey thingies.
Potions obviously has gotten worse. Some people suspect it's because of Neville's Boggart, which it definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, his Boggart was Snape, and then he put Snape in a dress, a giant vulture hat, and a red bag.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's getting worse, and he's actually... Snape is being meaner to Neville.
Which kind of makes sense, but also, mm-hmm. like, be an adult...
Yeah, well, we already know he's not an adult.
Okay.
Anyway, and mentions of Professor Lupin's name are met with deadly looks.
From Snape.
So it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Professor Trelawney is making it more difficult for Harry, because she literally tears up every time she talks to him. Like he's about to die. And of course, her new faithful followers, Pavarti and Lavender, who go and see her during lunch and feel, like, super special because they're always there with her.
They get, like, the inside, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't
know. Now they speak to Harry in hushed tones like he's about to keel over at any moment.
Like he's on his deathbed kind of thing.
Yeah. And poor Hagrid, care of magical creatures, is like everybody's least favorite class, because now he's, instead of trying to show what he can do, he's like, let's study flubberworms. What are that? They're literally as bad as their name sounds.
They're just like gray worms that don't really eat anything. Yeah. And they just die.
Like, they just die whenever, and the best way to take care of them is by literally doing nothing.
Yep. Basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is how school's going. So I would imagine that everybody's favorite class would be Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Yep. So quickly enough, we flow into October.
Yes. And this is the thing that makes Harry happy, because Quidditch is going to start.
Yep.
So he's, you know, we all know he's part of, he's our favorite seeker. And he's on the Gryffindor Quidditch team. And they actually are, Oliver
is desperate for a win because
it's his last year.
He's a seventh year.
It's his last year. And Gryffindors haven't won in 7 years.
They haven't won the Quidditch Cup in seven years.
They haven't won the Quidditch Cup in 7 years. And he literally gives off the speech where he's like, We have three of the best, three superb chasers, and he looks at them. Two unbeatable beaters, and a seeker who has never failed to win us a match. And me. And the twins are like, we think you're great too, Oliver. Best keeper ever.
It's just that he's like maniacally like desperate for this, for the Quidditch Cup win. And like, I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. But like, calm down.
He even wanted to keep playing when people were getting petrified last year.
Yeah, and like, so, Harry, die trying to get the snitch. Die trying.
And that's when he loses his arm.
Yeah.
It's just in his arm.
It's just like, oh, come on.
He's a little much. But
I like the energy.
He's like, you know, we should have won the past 2 years. We haven't for whatever the reasons are. And like, he's trying to hold back. Uh-huh. He's like, but we should be able to win this year. And everybody's like, yeah! So they start training harder. And he even mentions that their first match is against Slytherin. And they're way better than Slytherin. So they're going to practice night and day. And be better so that they can beat them. So everybody's super excited about that. And, you know, one evening after training, Harry goes back to the common room and he sees everybody abuzz, and he finds out that it's because the first Hogsmeade weekend was announced and it's going to be on Halloween. Remember that the third years are now allowed to go as long as they have their permission slip signed.
I mean, except for Harry, because it's not signed.
Yeah.
Which is actually something I mentioned as before we were prepping to record.
Yeah.
I was like, how awful are the Dursleys to not sign it for Harry? Like, okay, yeah, he blew up the aunt. But can they really justify that, like, not, like, what he did was justified. So how can they justify not wanting to sign a slip? It doesn't cost him anything. They don't like him. It's so tragic.
It is.
It doesn't cost him anything.
It's something that would literally take a quarter of a second to do. They could literally scribble and it'd be fine.
Yep.
But because they dislike Harry so much, they don't want him to have a good time. Wait. Even when they're not around him.
Wait, can we hit this with a spin and say that Petunia did end up signing it, and then Fudge made it disappear so that Harry wouldn't be out of the castle?
Well, Petunia's never...
Is that a possibility?
You can have it as headcanon, I guess.
There's like a 1% possibility of it.
There's like a 0.01% possibility of it.
Or what if Vernon signed it early?
He wouldn't have just shoved it.
He
wouldn't have signed it early. That's not his MO. He would have waited until the last possible moment, and unless Harry had mentioned it again, wouldn't have done it.
What? I feel like, I'm not gonna lie, today I want to make these bunch of like alternate like little twists.
Well,
a little
then
bit.
We have to record a what if episode.
I will just make a meme out of it and just post it on a couple of groups. Okay. And just, like, see what people say. Like, you know, what if Petunia did sign it and then...
But it would make sense if she somehow grew into a nice person. If she had signed it, that Fudge would magic it away because they're afraid for his safety.
If they did that deleted scene from Deathly Hallows Part 1...
Two.
No, it's one. It's one. Where she says the thing to Harry. Yeah. I'm not going to repeat it, obviously. But like, if she had said that in the book, like, okay, this headcanon would work. Okay,
yes, sorry. But it doesn't. So Harry can't go. And, you know, they're like, oh, you know, you should be able to go. You should be able to go. And they're like, no, my permission slip isn't signed. And it's like, you know, there's also another thing that should be a pretty good deterrent. The fact that there's a murderous wizard who escaped from a previously inescapable prison who has been spotted not too far from there. Who was actively trying to hurt him.
The thing is that makes sense, but it also makes sense that he shouldn't be that worried because the creatures who guard the prison.
Yes.
It's different when you're guarding a prison because it becomes routine, I assume. So just at their posts, they're like, no one can get away from us because we're evil creatures from hell, basically. Basically.
They go, <"Bleh."
laughs> Now they're actively looking for him. So I think it's like a different thing. I'd feel much safer going to Hogsmeade if the Dementors are actively looking for Sirius Black.
Yeah, but what if you accidentally jaywalk? They don't care. They'll get you. You're a rule breaker.
We don't know exactly yet what Dementors do.
But you're a rule breaker. They'll get you.
Yes.
Okay. So Ron suggests Harry ask Professor McGonagall if he can still go. Who knows when the next visit is going to be, he says.
Which doesn't help, by the way.
Yeah. And Hermione's like, no, he's supposed to stay in the castle. And Ron's like, whatever, it's no big deal. You should still ask. And Harry's like, I think I will. And at that time, at that moment, that's when Crookshanks comes in and he leaps onto Hermione's lap with a giant spider in his mouth. And she's like, oh, clever Crookshanks, you caught that all by yourself?
And Ron's like, ah, two things I hate.
Yeah. Ron's like, does it have to do that here? Do we think Crookshanks is a girl or a boy?
I think Hermione says he. I vaguely remember Hermione calling Crookshanks a he, but I will get back to you on that one.
Okay, we'll go with he for now.
Yeah. Well, Ron's kind of disgusted, like, spider, Crookshanks. What was that?
Oh, was that my phone?
Yeah.
It was. That was Google Assistant trying to.
We don't need your help. We know everything about Harry Potter.
Anyway.
Yes, is eating the spider. Ron's like, Crookshanks, spider, I hate these.
Yeah, and he's like, keep Crookshanks over there because I have Scabbers in my bag.
And as if by magic, Crookshanks is like, oh, rat sense.
Staring at Ron.
Yes, and then attacks the bag.
2 seconds later, attacks the bag. Yes. Like, literally pounces on the bag. And it's like, Ron is able to, after a while, get the bag away, but Scabbers scurries under something, and Crookshanks chases after him.
It's basically a whole scene.
A ton of people trying to grab Crookshanks, and Ron's like, there's something wrong with that cat.
It heard me,
and it launched. And Hermione's like, it's just a cat. It doesn't know that it's not supposed to attack this specific rat. All cats go after rats. And I mean, it's true. The first week that I moved into the place that I'm in now, when Marley got out. Remember Marley got out for a little bit?
Yes, and you freaked out.
And I freaked out. When she came back and she was meowing all over the place, guess what she had brought back for me?
What?
A little mouse.
Oh, well, she was hungies.
She's like, look at what I did, Mom. I'm like, you're such a good hunter. Now leave that there. Anyway, Harry's like, you know what? This is crazy. That's fine. I'm totally still going to ask McGonagall tomorrow after Transfiguration if I can go to Hogsmeade with everyone else. So while they're in line waiting for Transfiguration class, Lavender's crying, Pavarti's trying to console her, and we find out why. And it is She got a letter from home this morning, Parvati whispered. It's her rabbit, Binky. He's been killed by a fox. Oh, said Hermione. I'm sorry, Lavender. I should have known, said Lavender tragically. You know what day it is. The 16th of October. That thing you're dreading will happen on the 16th of October. Remember? She was right. She was right. I had to.
You really didn't, but you did.
I did, because that's how Jim Dale's in my head right now. So Hermione's like, you were dreading Binky being killed by a fox?
How old was he?
Yeah, not necessarily. Oh, was Binky an old rabbit? No, he was only a baby. But then why would you be dreading him dying? And Parvati glares at her. She's like, well, look at it logically. I mean, Binky didn't even die today, did he? Lavender just got the news today. And she can't have been dreading it because it was a real shock.
I mean, it's logical, but it's kind of mean.
Yeah, and Ron is like, don't mind Hermione, Lavender. She doesn't think other people's pets matter very much.
Which, low blow, Ron. Like, chill.
Yeah, but it's not... That's the thing. Ron is upset because of what happened with Scabbers, but Hermione is not saying anything about Binky in general. She's saying, hey, you're trying to make something fit that doesn't fit. Maybe if you had said, I was dreading bad news from home, it would make more sense. And then it would line up. But the fact that she's like, I was dreading Binky dying. That's super specific. And there's no reason for you to dread that.
Very unrealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that, like, there is a general fear from pet owners that their pet is just randomly going to die.
Agreed.
So hence it makes
my
sense.
Having my come to me moment with Marley last night.
Exactly. So I get it. But also, it just doesn't.
You don't think about that when your pet is little.
Yeah.
You really don't.
No. Unless very little, and then you do.
Yes.
And that could be at the stage where Binky is at. So
I like how you wanted to not say the name, but you said it. Okay. So Harry, again, is trying to figure out his approach to McGonagall on the Hogsmeade subject. But she's actually the one who brings it up at the end of the class, where she's like, hey... No forms, no Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what's happening. No form, no Hogsmeade. And Neville freaks out, because he's like, I think I've forgotten mine. And
don't worry, your grandmother already sent it.
Exactly. And it's like...
Because she thought you'd forget it, which is like, come on. You gotta say that out loud like that.
But he forgets everything. Remember the remember all?
I know.
Neville doesn't.
Honestly, he doesn't. He never rings it back up.
Exactly.
It was lost during the whole Quidditch thing. Gone. Never brought up again. I wish someone...
Do you think Malfoy kept it?
No, because he threw it.
Do you think Harry kept it? Maybe McGonagall kept it.
She just took it. She's like, he doesn't need it.
He's not going to remember anyway.
Yeah. That actually killed...
Why are we dragging Neville?
I wish someone in the later book was just like, hey, Neville, remember the Remember-All? Just look at him. You're like, oh my god, shut up.
Right? So, once everyone leaves, Harry's there being egged on by... Yeah, seriously. Being egged on by Ron. And he's like, hey, so McGonagall, ma'am, please, can I go to Hogsmeade? My uncle and aunt forgot to sign my form, but if you let me go... And she's like, no, I won't let you go. No.
Well, she... She seems a little pained by it,
yeah.
You know?
She actually says, I'm afraid not, Potter. You heard what I said. No form, no visiting the village. That's the rule. But Professor, and he tries to explain, and she said, he's like, if you said I could go, and she says, but I don't say so, said Professor McGonagall, standing up and piling her papers neatly into a drawer. The form clearly states that a parent or guardian must give consent. She turned to look at him with an odd expression on her face. Was it pity? I'm sorry, Potter, but that's my final word. You'd better hurry or you'll be late for your next lesson.
That's what I love about Jim Dale, is that this little passage has, like, so much emotion in it, and it's something that's kind of, like, not... super important, but it's important to Harry.
Yeah.
And you just have to listen to it. Yes. Because I'm not going to put it on right now. Obviously, that would be...
We don't own rights to it.
Yeah, so we can't, unfortunately. But it's...
Yes.
It's very good.
So... Everybody tries to cheer him up. It's like... Yeah, there's always the feast, said Ron. You know, the Halloween feast in the evening. Yeah, sure, great. Harry's, like, super gloomy. Let's see. Dean Thomas actually says that he's pretty good at forging people's signatures, so I can totally do that. And Harry's like, no, I'm a Professor McGonagall already knows that they haven't signed it, so that's not going to work. Ron half-heartedly suggests the invisibility cloak, but Hermione is like, excuse you, do you not remember what Dumbledore said at the opening feast? That's not going to work. And then head boy Percy comes to the rescue. No, not really. He makes
it's
it
not
worse.
That, it's not that good anyway.
Yeah. They make a fuss about Hogsmeade, but I assure you, Harry, it's not all it's cracked up to be. All right, the sweet shop's rather good, and Zonko's joke shop's frankly dangerous, and yes, the Shrieking Shack's always worth a visit. But really, Harry, apart from that, you're not missing anything.
So apart from all the cool stuff, you're not missing anything.
Yeah, totally forget the fact that I mentioned all these cool things, but you're not missing anything.
But you'll not get to experience with your friends.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Because you suck. No, you know, that was a little much.
That's kind of like, I don't know.
That's what Harry feels like, though.
I wouldn't like put it past Percy to say something like that.
Percy. Anyway, so yeah. So the day comes and Filch is standing there grabbing all the permission slips and making sure that he looks up people's names and that they aren't doing anything weird and that people who can't go don't go. And Harry's like, I guess I'll go back to Gryffindor Tower. And he gets in. He's barely into the common room. And good old Colin Creevy is like, hey, Harry, why are you still here? You can come sit with us. Yeah, yeah. And Harry's like, no, I'm going to go do homework in the library. So he goes right back out. And the fat lady's like, seriously, why'd you even wake me up? Super sassy. So he's walking towards the library and Filch stops him and is like, what are you doing? Why didn't you go to Hogsmeade with your friends?
Your other nasty little friends.
Yes. You're up to something. And he's like, no, I'm going to the library.
He's just like, I'm existing. Can you stop?
Yeah. And then he walks a little bit more and he hears the same thing, but in a different tone, come from Lupin, Professor Lupin. And he's like, hey, Harry, what you doing? Where are you? What's going on? And Harry's like, he actually says, where are Ron and Hermione? And he's like, oh, they went to Hogsmeade. And Lupin's like, hey, come in, have some tea with me, and let me show you the Grindelwald that I got for our class. There's that Grindelwald that you mentioned earlier.
Haha.
Yep. And they're having tea, and Lupin is like, hey, how you feeling after Trelawney basically said you're gonna die?
Yeah.
And Harry's like, I'm fine. How did you hear about that? Oh, McGonagall told me. So the teacher's gossip.
Yes, which is so McGonagall.
It's so McGonagall because I think that she respects Lupin enough to be like, hey, let me tell you what just happened.
Sybil is crazy.
I hate Sybil. She's crazy. Like, I really think that she shouldn't even be here. And this is why.
Yeah.
We're not related or anything.
Yeah.
So.
I like how Harry takes the opportunity to ask him right now. Like,
well, Harry's actually mulling it over in his head.
He has been for a while.
Yes. And Lupin is like, do you have anything on your mind? He's like, hey. What up with the Dementor? With the Boggart?
The funny thing is that this is probably one of the first times that Harry has openly asked someone why they did something like that. If you know, like, try to protect him in a way.
Answer.
And Lupin doesn't, like, shy away from it. He's like, well, no, I thought the Boggart would have turned into Voldemort. I think that would have been too much for everyone.
He actually says something along the lines of, it would have caused a panic and he didn't think that it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And he's like, he says, I would have thought it was obvious.
Yeah. Which, I'm just like, wow, every other adult in Harry's life...
Especially right now.
Yeah, has tried to, like, shield him from the news or the reality of a situation. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this person's trying to kill you. Don't tell him, though. It's bad. No.
He's a kid. Don't do it. It's no. Like, this kid has already gone up against the Dark Lord three times.
Like, Harry has faced more than kind of like everyone else who's trying to protect him has faced. Literally. Yeah.
Well... Maybe not McGonagall and Dumbledore.
Definitely not McGonagall and Dumbledore, but everyone else. Literally everyone else.
We don't know
else.
About Flitwick. What Flitwick was up to.
Well, he's like a...
That's my alarm to
wake Why do you still up? Have alarms? You're here.
Because I have them set up to go off Monday through Friday.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Well, we know that Flitwick was a dueling champion in his
Oh, youth. And I don't own rights to that song either.
Thanks.
Sorry. I have to say it.
I know. But like I said, Flitwick was a dueling champion in his youth, but I don't think that really amounts to fighting someone who, like, is a mass murderer.
Well, he may have been on the side of good.
What?
He may have been on the side of good trying to help out.
Either way, I don't think that...
Moving on.
Because he's not a part of the Order.
I say moving on a lot.
You do. But he's not part of the Order. I'm not going to elaborate, but he's not part of the Order.
I already have to go in. I'm going to leave the spoilers.
No. Leave this one, because no one really knows what that would mean. You know what it means. People who've read the book knows what it means. People who are reading this for the first time have no idea what the Order is, which is fine.
Okay. Well, let's continue.
Definitely the other one, though. Mute it. Okay.
Well, then don't say it if you want me to mute it later. Anyway. Okay. So, yeah. Harry asks and Lupin tells him. And he's like, you know, it's actually... Harry says, I did think about it. But what I was actually thinking about was a Dementor. Those are creepy.
Yeah.
And Lupin's like, huh. Good on you, mate. You're actually scared of fear itself. Yeah. That's really cool.
And then, shortly after this revelation that Harry is a very intellectually scared person.
Yes.
Snape comes in.
Yes. And Snape actually is like, oh, I brought you your potion.
But I'll be back if this is
inconvenient. I made an entire cauldron of it. You should drink this right away.
Why you sound creepy?
Because that's the way he says it in the book. And Harry's like, in his head, it actually says Harry thinks about knocking the goblet out of Lupin's hand. And he's like, hey, so you know that Snape wants the Defense Against the Dark Arts job, right? And that he's willing to do anything, right? Right?
Lupin's like, interesting drink.
Well, Lupin is like, hey, you know, I'm really lucky that Severus is such a good potions master because I'm rubbish at potions and I really need this because I'm not feeling well. Yes. And it's a really complicated potion to make. Yes. And he drinks it and he finishes drinking it. He's like, too bad sugar makes it, you know, nothing.
Yeah, useless.
Useless. Because it's nasty.
Yeah.
And he finishes it and the goblet is still smoking.
Which, it's scary.
A little bit. So Harry leaves, and a few hours later, Ron and Hermione come back from Hogsmeade, and they're super happy. So while Harry is eating some peppermint imps that they brought him back, they tell him where they went. So they went to Dervish and Banji's, the wizarding equipment shop, they went to Zonko's joke shop, they went to the Three Broomsticks, which is a bar. Yes. That apparently kids can get into.
It's the bar in the main town that has non-alcoholic drinks.
Minimally alcoholic drinks.
Well, we've never really... There.
Minimally alcoholic... It's like drinking a Malta. It's got like 0.05% alcohol.
But the thing is that we've never really confirmed if there's alcohol in butterbeer or if an ingredient in it acts like alcohol for... other people.
I'm gonna say that it's like a Maita that has a tiny little bit of alcohol in it that really does nothing to anyone for the most part. Because a Maita has 0.05% alcohol per volume.
It's like nothing. Anyway.
Yeah. The post office that has hundreds of different owls that are color-coded on depending how fast you need your thing to get there.
Yep.
Which I think is cool.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's super cool. Like, I need this next day. Come here, Falcon Owl. Come to me.
Yeah. And Honeydukes, where they have all the different kinds of candy and stuff.
Every kind of sweet you can imagine,
basically. And they had free samples of a new fudge that they had just made, and they give Harry a piece.
Which is sweet.
So at least he's, even though he's missing out, he's not missing out. His friends are trying to make sure that he's included.
I appreciate that, because they didn't have to do that.
I agree. Harry tells them about Lupin and the goblet, the smoking goblet from Snape. And Ron's like, what the hell is wrong with him drinking that? I wouldn't have drank that.
And you warned him?
Yeah.
Harry's like, yeah, but he was like, this is awful bad, drink it.
Yeah. So then they're like, whatever, let's go down to the feast. They go down to the feast and it's beautifully decorated as always. And he actually makes a point to mention that there are these miniature pumpkins everywhere with candles in them. So I think that that's really cool. Like little floating jack-o'-lanterns. And the feast is so delicious, as always, that even Ron and Hermione, who had already spent all day eating crab at Honeydukes, were able to have seconds.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good that is.
Like the feast even goes so far as to have the resident ghost put on a little show for the school. Which is pretty cool.
So, yeah. At the end of the night, they're leaving, and everything is great. Everything is wonderful, and it's such a good night that even Malfoy can't ruin it with his, oh, the Dementors, they're coming after you,
And, like, miming things, too. He's like,
yeah, okay, whatever.
Yelling across, I don't know. Right. He's such an awful person. Okay, continue.
Everything is going great, until they reach the portrait of the fat lady.
Mm-hmm.
They reach it, and they see that it's been slashed, and that the fat lady is gone. So Dumbledore is like, all right, let's get Filch. Let's look for the fat lady. Let's find out what happened. He actually says, we'll need to find her. Professor McGonagall, please go to Mr. Filch at once and tell him to search every painting in the castle for the fat lady. You'll be lucky, said a cackling voice. It was Peeves the Poltergeist. So, Peeves usually treats the majority of the teachers with a little bit of reverence, but apparently...
Not even reverence, just a little bit of a touch of respect.
Yes. But apparently with Dumbledore, it's like oodles and oodles of respect.
But he's still kind of a cackly, unhelpful little...
But he goes from taunting to adopting this oily voice. And Dumbledore's like, what do you mean? Ashamed, your headship, sir. Doesn't want to be seen. She's a horrible mess. Saw her running through the landscape on the fourth floor, sir. Dodging between the trees. Crying something dreadful, he said happily. Poor thing, he added unconvincingly. Yeah, Peeves is a piece of work.
Yeah.
Did she say who did it? Said Dumbledore quietly. Oh, yes, Professor Head?
Yes.
Said Peeves, with the air of one cradling a large bombshell in his arms. He got very angry when she wouldn't let him in, you see. Peeves flipped over and grinned at Dumbledore from between his own legs. Nasty temper he's got. That Sirius Black. Dun, dun, dun!
Yep. So, Sirius got into the castle.
Sirius got all the way up to Gryffindor Tower.
Tried to break in.
A fat lady was like, nuh-uh. You don't know the password. No, sir.
And he got angry.
And slashed it.
Yep. Which makes you think, if it was someone who denied him entry, would he have slashed them?
I don't know. It's possible.
But
the world may never know.
I mean...
Well, we'll find out.
Yes.
But for now, the world
may never know. The world may never know.
And that is that. We're at the end of this chapter.
So we get a general feel for what Hogsmeade is like, and it's awesome.
Yes.
Halloween feast.
Was amazing.
Yes, like always. Sirius Black in the castle.
Not good. Amazing.
Yeah. Opposite of amazing.
Yes.
So, that's kind of that. There's really nowhere. Like, we have to see what happens.
That was after. The literal end of the chapter. I read the last line.
Yes. Like, the next thing, I don't know. I feel like if I was at school and someone's just like, hey, there's a murderer inside. Good luck. I'd be like, wow, I'm not staying here. I'm going to leave now because there's a murderer here.
Right?
Like, that's a funny thing I've seen in, like, a couple of, like scary movies and shows where it's like, there's a murderer in the house and there's a window right there and the person's like, we have to sneak out of the house. Open the window and just jump. Figure it out. Like, leave.
Or, I mean, just walk to the front door.
Well, if there's a murderer inside, they're going to, like, hold the entrances and exits to the building that you're in.
Yeah.
So, window.
My favorite thing is where they're like, there's a murderer in the house. Let's investigate. No, let's not. Let's leave.
No, leave. Call the police. They will investigate. They are paid to investigate murderers. Like, just leave. I don't know. Okay.
So, guys, we're going to record our next episode, like, right now. Let's find out what happens. Together.
I already know.
Bye, guys.